Today we continue with Galatians chapter 2, 15 through 21. Hear God's word. We Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over non-Jewish sinners. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. How do we know? We tried it. And we had the best system of rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement, we believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. Have some of you noticed that we are not yet perfect? No great surprise, right? And are you ready to make the accusation that since people like me, who go through Christ in order to get things right with God, aren't perfectly virtuous, that Christ must therefore be an accessory to sin? The accusation is frivolous. If I was trying to be good, I would be rebuilding the same old barn that I tore down. I'd be acting as a charlatan. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I've been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. What comes to mind? How do you feel when people start talking rules? Some people seem to like them. But for others, it just seems to make them feel rebellious. Like somebody's throwing more restrictions on them. In fact, in the world right now, we see a lot of the conflict in our country based on this conflict between those who want more rules and those who want less rules. And the motives on either side are not necessarily good ones, but there's no question that anytime you start talking about rules, you get a lot of emotion. And you get a lot of resistance. In fact, how many of you are hesitant to even share with people the fact that you're a Christian because of the strong idea that Christians are the do-gooders, the ones who are constantly judging other people and have high expectations and are the ones who are self-righteous because they're living the good life while everybody else is making errors and mistakes. We don't exactly have the greatest reputation. And part of that is because people, in the end, don't really understand. There's no question that in those early days, from the time of the Ten Commandments, there were laws. But they were meant as guidelines. They were obvious things. They were guidelines to help people understand what was important and how to love each other, how to care for each other, how to live together. And immediately, the ones who loved the rules created more rules and more rules and more rules until by the time that Jesus came, the place was overrun in rules about every silly little thing. To the point that something had to happen. Someone had to come and say, "No, that's it. That's enough. You don't get it. It's not about the rules. It's about loving God and loving each other. It's that simple." But there's a part in us that doesn't want it that simple. There's a part of us that kind of likes the more complicated thing. It's like a checklist by which we can know that we're great people. And again, that's not what it's about. What was going on at this particular time, and to what Paul was speaking, was there was a conflict. Many of the people were willing to let go of a lot of the rules, but they still wanted to hang on to a few of them. Circumcision and the rejection of certain foods. And he was saying, "No, you don't get it. If you're still hanging on to those things, you still don't understand." But in their mind, even as they were seeing that something new was happening in the world, there was a part of them that was resisting because they felt more comfortable with the old rules and the old ways. They had more assurance somehow. That was what was familiar to them. That was what they knew. But here's the problem. When you're sticking to the rule-keeping, when rule-keeping is what is important to you, it's really about being self-centered and not God-centered. Rule-keeping, for many, just encourages rebellion and resentment and bad behavior, not good behavior. And even when it does result in good behavior, it's often for bad reasons. It's more about the self than it is about making God happy or doing what God wants or being loving to neighbor. It's about me. It's about me looking good to everybody. It's about me. It's like a competition. It's like a race. And if you can check off all these things that you've done right, and meanwhile you're using that same checklist to check everybody else out, I'm better than that guy because I did these things and they're still doing that. Or I'm better than her because I got this nailed, but look at her. Do you see how it gets in the way of real faith? You see how it gets in the way, and it's not about love or even close? Rule-keeping. It can become heartless and cold. It's not about love. It's about me. And it then, as I said, becomes competitive and encourages all the wrong things. But now, hear the difference with grace. Hear the difference with what Jesus was trying to teach. It's still about living a good life. It's still about aspiring to good things, but with different motivation. And it has to do with trust. I keep thinking about different people who've been in my life, who've really impacted me in my faith, who've guided my path. And they weren't there saying, "Now, you better not do this, Joycey. Or you better do this." No. They were sharing like a guide what path makes things easier, what helps get you where you want to go. It's a little bit like cooking. When you work with a recipe and you work with a good cook who's showing you how, but there are pointers. You turn that oven on too high and it's going to be all dried out. It's going to be no good. If you don't cook it long enough, then you may have a problem with that chicken. You're going to have some bacteria that's going to be there, then you can end up sick. Or if you add this little ingredient and you just give it a little bit of time here and you saute it a little bit there, oh my goodness, a taste to die for. Delicious. That's the way our lives are. Our lives, and we either choose a way of living that brings out the best in our lives and each other, or we choose a way that destroys everything and is destructive. Those Ten Commandments, they weren't meant to make our life hell on earth. They were meant as guidelines. Some of them so incredibly obvious. Who doesn't know don't kill your brother? Okay? Who doesn't know that it's not right to steal? Who doesn't know that we are not to long for our neighbor's possessions? And part of it is, it has, in a certain way, it's not just about preserving the life of that brother or that sister. It's about preserving our own lives. Because when we do those things that are destructive, it's not only destructive to other people, but it's terribly, painfully destructive to us. Often when we resist the rules or the guidelines that are out there, it's because we have the false sense that we're being robbed of something better. And we don't realize that the guidelines are there to help us to find the best in life, not the worst. It's grace, this thing, grace. It does other things too. It's about the way we form our relationships. It's about something bigger than ourselves. It's a recognition that we're not perfect, we're never going to be perfect, and that it's okay. That we are loved no matter what. Who have you seen a love for the imperfect? We have down the street, we have a dog named Copper, who's a three-legged dog. He was hit by a car, had surgery, and you see him hopping around on those three legs. And I think he's loved even more with his three legs than he would be if he had his four legs, because there's just something about him, a spirit and a heart to him. Even when he's barking and annoying, there's something so lovable about that dog. We have this weird idea that to be lovable and loved, we have to be perfect. And that's not true. It's just not true. God loves us right where we are, even as he's hoping to help us to something better. And this grace, our own imperfections, they can give us compassion and understanding and the deeper ability to love other people. If we've never been through rough times, if we've never made mistakes that we acknowledge, if we see ourselves as perfect, then we tend to be judgmental of other people. When we can see the flaws in ourselves, it allows us to be open to where other people are, supportive, helpful, kind, and not judgmental. And finally, it encourages gratitude. When you own up how weak you really are, then as you see God doing things in your life, when you see how Christ works in you, how can you feel anything but grateful? My friends, rules can be wonderful if they're seen in the right way. But they're meant to be like the recipe. They're meant to help us along the way, like a roadmap. But they're not meant to dominate us. They're not meant to make us judgmental. They're not done to cause finger pointing. They're not done to lift us up above other people. Our ego is meant to die. And when that ego dies, then we start knowing who we really are. When we no longer need to be better than our neighbor, when we no longer worry about the little flaws, the ways that we fail, but we just are being ourselves, the most loving and kind people that we can be, we're making God smile. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, it can be very confusing because there are so many rule keepers out there. And it's not that the rules are all bad. But Lord, you call us to something even bigger and even better, something that transcends the rules. And we pray, Lord, that we might be those who love, those who choose love over rules. In your name we pray. Amen.